the bright star. A precious cornerstone in Ebenezer shall not they take.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed now, and we're going to have a special guest preacher for this time on the Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast. And the guest preacher is Brother Stinnett Belew, a great man of God who I cherish and praise the Lord for. And he preached a powerful message on why was Jesus crucified. You know, lots of people out there wonder why he was crucified. Some of them, and blame the crucifixion on the Jews, and some blame it on other situations. But I want you to hear this message, you see, from the Bible, why Jesus was crucified. And may it richly bless your life for the glory of God.
I don't want to say anything wrong. I want to say everything right. I want God to use me tonight and be a blessing to you. I want to show you something that God's been blessing my heart with. Brother Sanders said, nobody leave, please. 30 years ago, I preached on what I'm going to preach on tonight. I hadn't preached it probably in 30 years. And God stirred my soul about it last week. I've been wanting to preach it all week, and I'll just give you a thought, and we'll see what God wants to do in the service tonight. In John chapter number 8, verse number 28, the Bible said, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, that as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you this evening to pray. I do want to say thank you, Father, for the joy of salvation and the wonderful privilege that we have to be born in America, glad to hear the gospel and to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I want to thank you, Father, for the privilege, Lord, that I have to be called to preach, put in the ministry, and give them a wonderful opportunity, Father, that you've given me these years to spend my life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone tonight is thy servant. Lord, would you enable me tonight just to take the word of God, and may the Holy Spirit take the word and take the sermon tonight, and you say what you want to say, and do what you want to do, Father, in this place tonight. After you give liberty, give leadership, may the power and presence of God be real. And Lord, say something tonight that will honor you and help the people and bring sinners to the Savior. Just do what you want to do with the liberty and power, and you will be done. I'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, for our sake I do pray. Amen. But amen. Thank you. Will you see that? Who can divide up and reach tonight for the message from that? Good Lord of God. As you know, all of Christ's life, there was a controversy. Is he really the Messiah? Is he really Yes, Son of God. The fact is, if you study the book of John, you'll find out one of the greatest reasons that the Jews wanted to crucify Christ was because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, they did not mind accepting the fact he's a good man. They did not mind accepting the fact that he's a teacher. He's a prophet. But they would not accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was very God in the flesh. They would not accept the fact that he could forgive sin. They didn't mind him healing diseases. They didn't care a thing with the open-minded eyes. They didn't care a thing when he raised the dead. But when he started forgiving sins, they got ready to kill him. And so the question rages throughout the book of John, is it him? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Are you really who you say you are? And there's many different answers given in the Gospel of John. But in this verse, it's like the Lord is tired of telling them. And he said, you just wait till you put me on that cross. And when I'm lifted up, there'll be some things happen that will raise doubt and will know that I am the Son of God. And he said, just wait on Calvary. Why would I say to you, if you've got any question about whether Jesus Christ is God or not, let's go to Calvary, let's lift him up, and let's let God prove to us that he is God, very God in the flesh. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 27, please, and I want to point out three things tonight as the Holy Spirit gives liberty and leadership this evening. There's a lot I could say. I really be honest with you, I hate to preach on this part of the life of Christ. We'll just dive out in the middle of it. I say it's hard to preach on Christ. Why? But I preach on his birth. I'm not going to talk about his birth. I'm going to talk about how he lived before he's born. Can you talk about how he lived before he's born? I'm just going to talk about his creation. How do you come to his creation? I'm talking about that time he sent with the Father before the world ever was. And I get lost in the sea of God's greatness. But I sure do like to splash around them waters. But I got him. Let's come to Calvary tonight. Three things I will point out. First of all, when Christ died, there was a supernatural darkness. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 45, and from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land into the ninth hour. Let me just say to you tonight, please don't miss this. Christ hang on the cross 6 hours. The first 3 hours, Brother Freed, God let man have his son. But the last 3 hours, God turned out the light of the world. And darkness covered the entire earth. It's like God said to the world, you've had your sanctity with him. Now I'm going to bring him in the holy secret place of me. And I've got some things that I'm going to do with him. And man can't see it. And God will act of the darkness. God did not let man punish him anymore. He let him die. And the darkness is over. And God got through with him. Two things about that darkness. First of all, I just mentioned the period of it. For 3 hours. 180 minutes total darkness. I just think in his eyes, think of that. You know the scribes were there? The scribes were the fellows who had written down the word of God. No doubt among the scribes, and you know how that religious crowd is, they usually always like to flock together. And so I come into somewhere in that darkness that God starts talking, maybe in a lower voice, and some of them said, well, think about this. What about this? Have you ever read anything about this? And one of them said, you know, I remember writing in the book of Exodus about a supernatural darkness that lasted for 3 days and nights down in the book of town in the land of Egypt. Wonder if this is going to last 3 days and three nights. Hell, we stopped here on this hillside for 3 days and three nights. And now the spoken said, I remember that he spoke about an hour of darkness, an eternal darkness. Is this yet a re-imitate of everlasting darkness that God spoke about? What I'm saying is, there is that period that lasted 3 hours, 880 minutes. And all we have recorded is the proclamation of the darkness. Right at the end of it. My God, hast thou forsaken me? As far as I know, it's the only time those unbelieving Jews had ever heard Jesus call God, God. He already called him Father to that crowd. The first cry, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And here we are, 3 hours of darkness. From toward noon to 3 afternoon. And now in the last moments of that darkness, there's a cry from the cross, and the Son of God said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that a steal from the heart of those unbelieving Jews? Has God forsaken him? Has he forsaken us? Cross out! Somebody remember writing down John 10. 28. When Jesus said, it's not going to lose. John 8, 32. Jesus said, they said when Jesus said, when you lift me up, when you lift me up, you'll know what I need. Is this it? Is this it? Is God rejecting him? Figuratively, we use the word, it's not a Bible term, of turning his back on him. Is this it? But not only I want to mention the period of the darkness, 180 minutes of the proclamation of the darkness, my God, why has God forsaken us? I want to mention the purpose of the darkness. Why? 180 minutes, why? 3 hours of darkness. And I've set in on holy ground these moments tonight, and I do it with fear. Then honestly before God, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I'd like to say what's in my heart tonight about the purpose of his darkness. You see, God had a business to take care of with this last Adam that he would not allow man to look upon. You say, what happened, preacher? And that, what was the purpose? I don't know at all, but I'm getting two or three things. God promised the first Adam, the day you eat of that fruit, you will die. Now, I'm being as honest as you can help me. That's God helping me. All I know is Adam did not die the day he ate of that fruit. I know spiritually cut off from God. You want to say that spiritually? Well, I'm not going to argue about that. But you would not get that rhema contract. He didn't say, Adam, you'll die spiritually the day you eat of it. I know you can take Peter, chapter 3, verse number 8, where the word of God said one day is for the Lord is 1,000 years, and say Adam did die in that 1,000 years, so he died in one day. I don't think that's what God's speaking about either. I believe God said to Adam, in the literal 24-hour day that you could take of this fruit, you're going to die! Why didn't he die? Why didn't he die? That's the question of the morning. Why didn't he die? I give you two things. First, we know that a lamb, an innocent lamb, a substitute lamb, let me back up and change that. I don't know that's a lamb. I don't believe it was a lamb. As far as I know, there was no reproduction of animals in that Garden of Eden. And if a lamb had died, there'd be no lamb species today. study on it anyway. Isaiah 53 said, talking about Christ, that he shall be cut off from the land of the living. There was a species of animals put down and it was cut off from the land of the living. And who shall declare his generation? God raised us up to do so. That he might be that Adam sinned. There was a species of animal that God in his place, the innocent, for the user, the sinless, for the sinful, and God instituted and substituted the first substitution of death in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah, the soul, that even in the anger of God, in the wrath of God, in the justice of God, that God's a God of mercy, and God's a God of a sacrifice. And God for God with an atonement for substitution from sin. Why don't you put it plainly? I'd say why. I don't believe that Adam died. This may not theologically fit in everybody's mind, but I won't take it in plain language. I believe when Adam sinned, trespass said, kill him! Kill him! Kill him! Put him up upon justice and kill him! Mercy stood up. And mercy said to the Father, would you wait a grace yet here? Would you wait a grace yet here? Mercy said, I know! You're going to provide yourself a lamb one day after a while. If that grace is not arrived, then strong now, Father, when you just hold back to that, and your grace gets here, and another sacrifice is here, and another sacrifice is here, and another is here, and every time God sees the blood of those animals, it does not take away sin, but it postpones the judgment of God. Your grace could get there. And then at Calvary, in 3 hours, don't miss this thing. For 4,000 years, mercy prevailed and held back God's wrath. But in that darkness, God did to the last Adam what justice wanted to do to the first Adam. And God wouldn't let the world see it, but he blacked out the world while he executed his vengeance, his wrath, his justice, his judgment on the Son of God, the last Adam. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah 53:10, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That it listened for 4,000 years. God's been angry with the wicked every day. God's held back that wrath. God's held back justice. Now, hallelujah, grace is now in. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless Son of God, is now in power. And God is executing all his wrath, all his anger, all his judgment in the Son of God. And God's done, and God is satisfied. I'll tell you something else God did in that darkness, too. If I would ask you tonight how many spikes was driven in Calvary's cross, most of you would say 3. Some would say 4. Common practice was for that to see. They'd cross the feet, nail them together, and one in either hand. But I done read over in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Verse 14, verse number 15, in that darkness, he's blotting out the handwriting for the ordinances, which were against us, which were contrary to us, and he took them out of the way, what's he doing with them? He's nailing them to the cross. Oh, every ordinance that man could not keep. Oh, God, in the crucifixion of Christ, in that darkness, God nailed them to the cross, and Christ died for my failure and your failure to keep the ordinances of God on this earth. Let me preach that one. Let me give you a second. Now, when the supernatural darkness stops giving you the grip, you'll know it's loose. The supernatural darkness. But in second, there's a supernatural death. Verse number 45. Verse number 45. That's not verse number 45, verse number 50. The Bible said when Jesus cried the loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He cried again the loud voice. Yielded up the ghost. I was looking at this one. It was just going to say this. Jesus died like no other man. Maybe I should say it in a better arrangement of the statement. There never had been a death like the death of Christ before he died. There were two more thieves on the cross, but they did not die like Jesus died. Brother Hawkins, there's not been a death since that death on the cross like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's death, my sinless difference from all other death. You say, what was it preacher said in the scene? If he were to call a corner to the scene, lay out the body of Christ, ask that corner to perform an autopsy on him, if he were a good corner, you know what he'd list the death as? Now listen to me. Natural causes. Promise you not. Natural, you say, what do you mean, preacher? All right, tell me what killed him. If something don't kill you, you die of natural causes. Oh, you said, Brother Bruce, that Jesus. No. Somebody said, sin. No, he overcame sin. Somebody said, death comes in his mouth. He conquered death. Somebody said he died with a broken heart. If he died with a broken heart, then he was an imperfect sacrifice, unacceptable. Good portrait, but it's terrible preaching. I only say it as plain as I can. Nothing or nobody killed Christ. Not the weariness of his flesh, not the time of being out eating, not the beating, not the scourging, not the crown of thorns, not the multitude lashing him. No, my friend, if that corner were honest tonight, he'd have to sign that death certificate and say, he died a natural death! Nothing killed him. But I called him a second corner. I said, I'm amazed. This man says that Jesus died a natural death. Because nobody killed him. He said, man, that guy's got to be off his marbles. He was crucified. And so he's going to light it up and say, he died an unnatural death. Killed by crucifixion. But I call heaven's corner to the justice seat. But I say I've got one corner that says he died a natural death. Nothing killed. I've got another corner that said he died an unnatural death. Crucifixion killing. What does heaven say? Heaven said they're both wrong. He did not die a natural death. And he did not die an unnatural death. He died a supernatural death. He was as much in control of his dying as he was his death and his living. And he died of his own will. Nothing killed. Isaiah, the closest thing we've got, said he was smitten of God. This God sacrificing his lamb, that since Christ was God, he died of his own free will, his own volition. Nothing killed him. He said in Psalm 10, he said, I received this commandment of the Father. Nobody gonna take my life. I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna lay it down so that one day soon I'll take it up again 3 days and 3 nights later. And when Christ died, he gave up the ghost. That literally means, the best I can describe it, he exhaled. He breathed out breath. I think you know this. One. You study your Hebrew words. Breath, wind, and spirit are all the same Hebrew word. The spirit of man is the breath of man. When the breath is gone, the man's dead. You know what he did? He can't do it. He literally looked at me, literally. And never in him. Now you breathe out, God holds your breath, and you become unconscious, your voluntary muscles will start working, and you'll start breathing again. That's all. This man on that cross breathed the first breath into the first nostrils of the first Adam, and he knew well how to breathe it out of the nostrils of the last Adam. Cover that 2 or 3 days and 3 nights later, can pick up his own body and breathe into it again, and become a living person again. I'm telling you, my friend, he did not kill him. Sin didn't kill him. The Jews didn't kill him. The knife and the human soul did not kill him. He is dead with supernatural. Almighty killing. He died his own holy burn. I say to you, number three, I hope I'm not taking you out. He said, when you lift me up, you're going to know who we're dealing with. Supernatural darkness. Supernatural death. In your Bible, again, Matthew chapter 27, verses number 51, 52, and 53. There's not only supernatural darkness, supernatural death, but there's some supernatural disturbance there. God used the creation to declare the Creator at the moment of the crucifixion. What do I'm doing that? You say, what happened? Look at your Bible in verse number 51. First thing the Bible said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Oh, my mind goes wild when I think about that. I am convinced, brother Free, that Jesus died at 3 p.m. exactly the time the high priest was behind that veil offering the evening sacrifice. With that veil and held that thing closed, and nobody could come back there but the high priest, and he couldn't come back there with that blood, and there he is with a blood sprinkling on the... You see that veil? For 4,000 years it said, keep out, stay out, no admittance, nobody come back here, but the high priest, but when Jesus, when Jesus died, the value was reaped from the top of the bottom. And that veil, they said, keep off. Now stands as an open door and said, whosoever will. Yeah. Whosoever will, let him come. Oh, they tell us, Brother Freed, if you know anything factual, you might even just holler it out, but they tell us that veil was so thickly woven that 6 to 12 yoke of oxen, I believe I'm not, brother, hooked on either end, from an opposite direction, couldn't tear it apart. I often wonder what that high priest did. Probably so scared, then he come running out of there, hollering, the veil is rent. The veil is rent. The veil is rent. The veil is rent. Jesus said to them Jews that worship that temple and rejected God, when you raise me up, you'll know I'm He. And the veil was rent from top to the bottom. If that's not enough for that priest to get out of that temple, they're starting Christian. Yeah, I started thinking. And I'll quit. Shoot that city for the entire area for the mountains of Moriah. Well, them scribes said, you remember he said, When you lift me up, you're going to know I'm healed. I'm helpless. I'm lost. The eyes is taken. And then look again, the third thing. He said, and the rocks were rent. They just threw the busting open. Splitting apart. You got to realize they're standing on the rocky hillside at one of those mountains in Moriah. I said, Brother Freed, before service night, I didn't know I was going to do this. I've been studying on this thing. I knew somewhere in my studies, Brother Sammy, I had heard of them. There were seven mountains in the mountain range of Moriah. Am I right, Brother? There's, of course, Calvary's got a lot of different names. There's the Temple Mount. There's Mount Zion. There's the Mount of Olives. I've named for it right now. That the fellow says seven mountains there in that mountain. That's the same thing Abraham said to Isaac. You go up to one of the mountains of Moriah. I personally believe that Abraham offered Isaac not on the Temple Mount, but on that mount where Christ died at Calvary. So they're standing all around there, some of them standing on rocks. Yeah. And all of a sudden, not only the outdoors are taken, but the rocks start coming apart. But now look at verse number 53, 52 and 53. This bothered me a little bit. And the graves were open. And many of the bodies and the saints could flip and rose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto me. No, I first read that. Hey, what's up? Right. But then I remember preacher days, 3 days and three nights, somewhere in them two verses. Come on now. Somewhere in there. Are you with me? Are you with me? When I read about the earthquake, the rocks came, quick on that base, push them out. Just get going and push it out. Hey, Christ is loose. Hey, get out of the base. Acts is resurrection. 3 days and 3 nights. Then fire. Somewhere open semicolon. Literally means you could stop the sentence right there and sort of the graves opened when the earthquake hit. But they didn't get out of the grave until after his resurrection. I was speaking in South Carolina one of the few times, maybe the only time I've ever said what I'm fixing to say. The man came up to me after the service and he said, "You're the second man I ever heard say that." And I said, "Who's the other one?" And I'm not boasting, I'm repeating what he said. He said, "Dr. Sotler." I said, "I'm glad he got his name signed on it." Amen. He came up to me after the service and he said, "You're the second man I ever heard say that." And I said, "Who's the other one?" And I'm not boasting, I'm repeating what he said. He said, "Dr. Sotler." I said, "I'm glad he got his name signed on it." Amen. This is what happened. In graves were open, and they were open for 3 days and 3 nights. And you say, "Why?" Well, see, I didn't know I was going to get preached this night when you and I were talking. Why? The thing, Christ was in the grave 3 Sabbath days. The thing, common Jesus is common criticism. But Sammy, if you was 1,000 miles away preaching the meeting in the church and the earthquake and the grave come over, you'd grab a shovel and help cover up them dead bodies. That's a plain old common decency. Say amen. Amen, Brother Henderson? I mean, if there's a grave right out here, earthquake won't let me up. We wouldn't leave them bodies showing out there. Amen, Brother God. Look, we find some trouble. Somebody get some trouble. We get comedy talk. No doubt they thought that. Well, you see, there's some people that were great from that just got buried last week. There's some of them very thousands of years got open too. I personally believe all of them got all of them open. All of them got open. I'll let you out there about later, but I'm going to tell you what I do. I'll be worried. What? You know what happened? He said, "The guy goes, where are these at?" And all of a sudden, somebody went and said, "Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is the preparation of Passover. The high Sabbath has just started. And if we touch in grave, the truth is saying, someone will devour us, says, protecting the dead man's body. The number two, that high Sabbath demanded there be no servile work. So put the Sabbath up, fellas. We can't cover them bodies today. Get up this morning, boy, we've got to cover these graves, and all of a sudden comes, wait a minute. This is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Come the next day after the Passover. And God said that law, you can't do no servile work on this first day. It's a holy convocation to God. It's a Sabbath day. They put them servers up. Another 24 hours. They got up Saturday morning and we'd stay going down there and start, no, we can't do this. It's a weekly Sabbath. Think how little of which that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Plural. But on that, I'm using our language today, but on that Sunday morning, that first day of the week, and I'm just that one little father Bullism here. They grabbed their shovels and headed toward that cemetery and rounded the corner, brother, listen, and here come that crowd there, six and they'll cover up. They're heading in the town. Christ had gone up, and gone up, and Christ with the bodies in the garden, while those were in the town, and the King of Midas! Jesus, somebody need to be up, you're gonna know it! That's the supernatural darkness, that's the supernatural death, that's the supernatural disturbance, let me give you the flying food. There's a supernatural deliverance. I give you three pieces of evidence, man. So, the empty grave. When I went to the land of the Bible many years ago, I went in what they call Gordon's tomb, the tomb of Gordon's Calvary, where I'm sure Christ was not crucified at that Catholic mount. Inside the city, crucified outside the wall. What's known as Gordon's Calvary. I wouldn't argue that's the tomb of tradition, as it is. And until you can do something better, just keep your mouth shut. I believe it all. But I didn't go in there to see if Christ was there. Our God, who was an Arab, said to us, God had them to roll the stone away, not so Christ could get out. Before you could go in and see he's gone. But it's time. There's that tomb. There's an empty tomb that every time an unbelieving Jew walks by, he's reminded of what that said. What is the grave? Christ! He is the Son of God! So not only is an empty grave, there's empty God. And Christ got out when Christ resurrected to life, he took his garments and folded them up and laid them in a decent order. Took the napkins, Jewish superstition was, the spirit of a man lingered around his body, couldn't linger around his body for 72 hours, and there was a possibility of him coming alive again. So when they wrapped him with a linen cloth, they started his feet, wrapped up his body, and come to his neck and stop him and just lay a napkin over his face until he revived, he could breathe again. Wouldn't smother. The boy Christ took that napkin. And I know, and I'm not going to deal with it, I'm not fussing about it. I know there's a story, I've heard it told both ways what that napkin means. I'll tell you what it means to me. It means he's alive. Before anybody ever got in that tomb, the napkin folded. I tell you, I don't want to hang around no dead man holding that napkin. Amen. Where they look, that's an empty grave, that's an empty bottle, that's an empty glass. And by the way, let me say this, maybe I didn't say that clear, but those garments were not folded, the napkin folded. The garment helped the body form. But it didn't hold the body. But I'll tell you something else, we'll start on this one soon. Right on, there's an empty grave, there's an empty garment. But standing by the grave side, there's an empty grave. Death couldn't hold it. That is not possible! But he said, behold him for the chains of death. God can hold him! The weapons are not correct to him! For 3 days in Green Hawks, they stand in the heavy oil, but there's God who never paid for him! And the soul out of death, out from the grave, he arose! And a now he caught his soul! He arose a victor, and a God domain! And he lives forever! For the sacred, he arose! Death is standing there standing with something dirty for. I don't say that. Get a hold of that. As much as death couldn't hold him, they can't hold me.
I'm a call to you! Oh, Paul! Yes! Oh, I'm gonna run around the building! The grave couldn't hold him. The garments couldn't hold him. The grass couldn't hold him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's
alive. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords.
As you have heard the message, of course this was recorded in a big meeting, and the recording wasn't as good as I would like it to be, but I hope it was a blessing to you. And the bottom line of the message was that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, gave himself. No one took his life, but he gave it up himself. And so this thing about blaming the crucifixion on the Jews is unscriptural and is not the way it was. We're all guilty of going against the Son of the Living God, but it was He Himself who gave up the ghost. It was He Himself who sacrificed Himself upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have redemption through His blood. And so I'm so thankful for other men of God who preach it straight in these last days of compromise and are willing to preach the Word of God, which is the truth. And so as we wind down for this hour, I would ask you to consider the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, that this is a God-ordained ministry, and we need your help. And if you've been listening to this program for any amount of time, we would love to hear from you. We surely would love to hear from you. And please write to us and let us know that you've been listening to this program. Give us the call letters of the radio station and the time that you've listened. And as well, would you please pray for our ministry? It's very costly to be on the radio. Some people think it's for free, but it's not. And we do welcome free will offerings to help us sustain this work, the radio ministry here at the Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast. So continue to listen to some music before we end the program for this hour. There will be some free offers at the end, and where you can write the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Thank you. If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your hearts of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life, according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127 USA. You are invited to visit our website at HopeOfIsrael.net. Again, our website address is HopeOfIsrael.net, or HOPEOFISRAEL.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast.